Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres begin a home-and-home against the Athletics with their first of two here at Petco. And we've got Ben Higgins and Mike Grace in studio. Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Mike Grace.
I think it's something that I've been talking about or thinking about a little bit more in the last, probably the last 2 weeks or so. And, you know, I think no magic timing or anything like that. I didn't think there was any kind of set date. I think just really last night I kind of thought at the end of the day that it was a direction we wanted to go in, wanted to sleep on it, and then wake up this morning and decided to make the move. So, you know, as far as, you know, what went into it, you know, I think it was an evaluation process really for the last 8 months or so. And, you know, I think, looking at the club, and, you know, it's not a situation where we're playing, you know, it's not like the team is bottomed out. It's not that we're playing poorly or anything like that. But I think we've all seen some of the inconsistencies, you know, the ups and the downs with this team. I'm really just looking for a situation here in the next month or so where we start playing at the level that we've shown we're capable of it at various times throughout the year. And, you know, obviously it's a really, really tough call. I mean, Buddy is a tremendous person. He's a good baseball guy. He's got a tremendous family, you know, so I think, and grew to like him and, you know, had a lot of respect for him throughout the process. But ultimately, you know, charged with trying to get this team in a better position. And, you know, I felt like making the change in the managing spot was a way to hopefully head in that direction.
You heard it right there from Padres general manager A.J. Preller talking about his decision to relieve manager Bud Black of his duties as manager. I'm Mike Grace here with Ben Higgins as well as Bill Center. We're going to talk a lot about this decision today. Want to hear from you. Get your comments in, your questions in, hashtag PadresSH or in the live chat, Padres.com/social hour. First off, let's just say this. I think we can all agree that Bud Black is a tremendous man, a tremendous human being, incredibly pleasant to be around, and we all liked him as a person, but that's not what this is about.
I have really enjoyed covering him over the last 8-plus years that he's been here. Never say a bad word about Bud Black as he goes, and I'm sure this was a really tough decision for A.J. Preller to make the call right now.
But Bud himself says time after time when he has to make a decision, this is a performance-driven business, and AJ made the decision that they weren't getting the performance that they wanted, and he made the decision.
So the one thing that really stuck out to me, especially listening to AJ today, was he said two words a lot, and they basically were the same word, consistency and inconsistency. And I think we've all talked about that with this team. There's been so much inconsistency looking for consistency.
Just take the last 5 days. The Padres have been on a roller coaster of heartbreaking losses and then thrilling wins, starting with the Shields game in Atlanta when they were up 5-0 and lost, and then they come back against Atlanta late in the innings, win in extra innings. They lose that first one against the Dodgers after taking the lead on the Barmison Norris home runs. The great 2-1 win, Upton home run over the Dodgers, and then yesterday in 12 innings against the Dodgers again. This team has been like this all season long, and I think they're looking for a little more steady up opposed to up and down.
Longest winning streak all year is 4 games. And I really think that when AJ talks about it was a couple weeks ago that he started really thinking about this, it was right after that winning streak ended with a shutout against Cueto and then going to Atlanta and the bad loss there that you just mentioned. I really think that really started his thought process.
And this is what AJ had to say on the topic of consistency.
I mean, as far as the club, I mean, I know, you know, I'm pretty realistic and I talk with Buddy and the coaches all the time about it. I think, you know, there's no perfect team, I think, you know, look at, you know, the overall club from an offensive, defensive, and, you know, and pitching standpoint. You know, we didn't really perform or haven't at this point, you know, performed to the spot where you know, we're one of the better teams in the league. It's been inconsistent starting pitching and, you know, probably a little bit unexpected in terms of the way some of the stars have performed. You know, from an offensive standpoint, you know, we're second in the league in runs, which is a positive. But we've had, you know, they've come in bunches. And, you know, those are things that we've talked to Buddy about, you know, over the last few weeks. But it really isn't anything – it's not like any one specific thing that you put your finger on. You know, I really, you know, the one thing that, you know, in the back of my mind as I looked at it, I started thinking over the last few weeks that he may not be the guy for next year. And when that happened, you know, I started thinking about, okay, is there a voice for this year that might be able to jumpstart us a little bit? And I didn't really think it was fair to Buddy or anyone to, you know, kind of in my own mind have the, you know, hey, make a call day to day or anything like that, depending on how we played. I just didn't really think that was the case. And, you know, just felt like, you know, hey, if he wasn't necessarily going to be the guy going forward, you know, I think we can make a change now and go from there with
it. You know, guys, we've all heard the expression, life isn't fair. Well, baseball doubly really isn't right. Fair. Can you lay all of the problems that the Padres have had this season on Bud Black's feet?
No.
Absolutely not. But ultimately, he is the manager, and someone has to be responsible. And as the saying goes, you can't fire all the players. So if you want to make some sort of change, it's usually the manager that ends up losing his job.
Right. And I think one of the things that became clear today is that Buddy, in the last year of his contract, was truly a lame duck, that AJ admitted that he was not going to be back next year, that they had made a decision to make a change at the end of the year. They just forwarded, advanced it.
I would say he's not a traditional lame duck, because I think a lot of situations where you see a lame duck, the players aren't playing hard for that person. I would say that is not the case with this team. I don't think there's been any question about the effort that this team has given. It's just like we've talked about, the consistency.
You know, I haven't spoken to Buddy Black yet, and I'm sure he's very disappointed. Not for losing his own job, but because he doesn't get a chance to, you know, shepherd these guys for the rest of the season to hopefully where he thinks they still can go. But in some ways, A.J. Preller almost did him a favor. If he's not really in A.J. Preller's future plans.
And it seems like he was not.
And it seems like he was not based on those comments. Bud now has several months to look around, and he will be a hot commodity around baseball, whether it be as someone else's manager or working
front
in a front office
like
he's done in Cleveland, or certainly even as a pitching coach where he's won a World Series ring with the Angels. He's going to be a hot commodity somewhere, and now he's going to have time to decide what his next career move is going to be.
I don't see him going back to being a pitching coach. I would imagine he's going to be high up in somebody's front office. I really think that I don't know anything for sure, but I would imagine there are teams out there that like this guy as an evaluator. He's going to be in somebody's front office high up.
Or he could be on TV.
True.
He
was
really
good MLB Network.
On that
yeah.
J-Bo broadcast, he was quite good on that. Bill, can you give us just some historical context on where you feel like Buddy is in the scale of Padre managers over the years? Top, middle, bottom, you know. Obviously, very long tenured.
Right. Certainly not the worst.
I mean, that's saying something for him.
Right.
There you go.
I can put a couple guys in there that throw names out. I'd say he's in the top three or four.
I'd say top three. I mean, you've got Bruce Bochy and Dick Williams, and then Buddy Black has got a strong case to me to be right there at number three.
Jack McKeon was a pretty good manager. And Larry Boha, for all of his, he was an interesting man. I thought they've had three or four pretty darn good managers. Alvin Dark managed here for a short while. I thought that they didn't have a lot of talent then. But I would say over what he has done, he'd be in the top three or four.
So much more to discuss. We're going to get into more about this decision, what this means for the team right now, who's going to manage this team in the short term, in the long term. So a lot more to talk about as we continue the show. Be at Petco Park on Friday, June 26th for Padres Beer Fest, featuring $5 beers from a variety of local and national breweries. Stay for the action as the Padres take on the Diamondbacks at 7:10 p.m. Get tickets at Padres.com. More managerial talk here on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Alongside Ben Higgins and Bill Center, I'm Mike Grace, talking all about the Padres' decision on the managerial move to relieve Buddy Black of his duties as manager. A.J. Preller met with the team a little while ago, and this is what A.J. had to say about that meeting with the team.
You know, just informal the decision, obviously face-to-face, and I think probably the biggest thing was just to let them know that you know, I wasn't not looking to put blame on anybody. You know, I definitely was not looking to blame Buddy, and I don't blame the players. I mean, a lot of times I look myself in the mirror, You know, I think ultimately, like, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, is part of and a you know, big part of picking the players and picking the coaching staff and the manager. And, you know, let them know, though, that I still think we have a lot of good baseball left to be played. And, you know, I think I'm looking at it as what can I do better as I grow in this job? You know, what can the coaching staff do better? That's what we talked about a little bit today. And the players should look at it as what can we do better to kind of avoid the blame game and really get more to a, you know, how do we get to where we want to be, which is you know, at the top part of the standings and having fun playing baseball. And I, you know, encourage them that still thought that this team had a lot of good baseball left in it.
So I think that's the thing. They felt like this team can win. There's faith in this team possibly winning, getting into contention, and that was the thought behind this move to hopefully spark that.
You know, I guess what's unusual is that when a manager gets fired, it's often because the team is in a tailspin, they're right in last place. It's been a disaster of a season. I wouldn't call this Padres season a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. They've had a tough early schedule. They've hovered around 500, certainly not what they were hoping for at the beginning of the year. They haven't met expectations, but they're six games out. They're even closer to the wild card. This has not been a disastrous start to the season. It's just been a kind of a mildly disappointing one in my mind.
Well, and I think that's it, that they've never really gotten hot. They've just sort of gone back and forth, like we said, inconsistent. And I think it's that malaise of just not being able to get on a roll that I think is the most concerning thing, was the most concerning thing to AJ. And like Will Venable told me in the locker room or in the clubhouse, this is on all of us, talking about the players, that Buddy got fired, but it's really on everybody in that room.
And that's what I'm always curious about. Last year when Josh Burns was let go, obviously he's going to have some sort of relationship with the players, whether it's professional or beyond that. And how many of these guys take these types of things, not necessarily personally, but take accountability for that? Because, I mean, that's an interesting situation that most of us are never going to be in, where somebody else's job depends solely on how I do my job. So that's got to be a very interesting situation to be in, whether it's the players or the coaches, who are obviously going to be very close to
Buddy. I'm sure no one expected the locker room to be celebrating this news that right. Buddy Black was out. But, I mean, it was a sad place in there earlier. I was talking to Will Venable, who has never had a manager in the major leagues other than Bud Black. His entire career it's been Bud Black, and he felt really bad today. He wanted to handle it as a professional, as he's done everything else, and I commend him for that. Said, we got a game to get ready for, too, tonight. But, I mean, this guy was almost like a right. dad to me here, and now he's right. gone. It's going to be hard on some of these players, Bill.
It's especially some of the players that, like Venable, who have been here for a little while. Like Corey, this is Corey Spangenberg's only manager. Now, I talked to a couple other players who, like Josh Johnson, who's actually throwing a simulated game, that he had three managers in one season, and they've been through this. And the veterans who have been through this will tell you, hey, it's a business. These things happen. You have to keep going on. And that's what and Bud Black would tell you, that he expects the Padres to keep going on. These things happen.
You got to figure this is a veteran team for the most part. So right. if anybody's going to be able to handle it well, you would hope that these veterans can.
Right. Most people in baseball, managers, general managers, coaches, they take a job knowing that eventually, even players, that they take a job knowing they're going to be fired.
At some point, you're likely right. going to be fired.
Sure. How many
position?
Managers retire as World Series champions
right. no.
at the end of their career? You know, one or two ever? I mean, almost all of them eventually get fired. And Bud Black knew that. You mentioned it earlier. You know, anytime someone would ask you, you feel pressure, are you on the hot seat? Every
right.
day, 8.5 years, I'm always on the hot seat. There's always pressure on this job. We live to get fired in this job. And he knew that as well as anyone in this business.
And I would imagine that over the last month, the last 3 weeks, he's felt the pressure building. I'm sure he has.
Of course. Absolutely. I think everybody understood the expectations. So going forward, in the immediate future, Dave Roberts is going to manage the team tonight. He has not officially been named the interim manager. They're going to take a day, maybe two, to figure out who's going to be the interim manager, which in a sense seems very prudent. If you feel good about this team, you want to make the right decision, at least for the rest of this season, especially when you look at what's gone on around baseball, managers being fired and hiring a guy right away without going through any kind of interview process. They're interviewing their interim managers for this.
Yeah, we know Pat Murphy, the AAA manager from El Paso, is on his way here, presumably to interview as well for the interim manager job. I certainly think Dave Roberts is also a strong candidate for that. I'm thinking Dave will get to manage tonight and probably tomorrow since it's a day game. They won't want to name a new manager in the morning. So I would think after the game tomorrow, we'll probably find out who the manager is for the rest of the season.
I think there are probably three really good candidates. Pat Murphy, who's the only one who has managerial experience. That gives him a heads up. Dave Roberts, who bench coach, has managed games, a couple games when Bud's been tossed. And then Mark Kotze, who a lot of people think is one of the brighter young minds in the game. So I think that it's going to come from one of those three
guys.
You
know, with Roberts and Kotze, you get some locker room consistency and stability, which is really important in a 162-game season. But at the same time, you made this move because you wanted some change. And the only candidate who really brings in some change is probably Pat Murphy because he hasn't been here. He does have college coaching experience, but he worked with this club in spring training. He's well thought of in the organization as well. He's got a little bit of an edge to him, you know, a sense of humor as well. Not that he is a completely, incompatible personality coming in. I certainly think he would do a good job, but it would be a little bit different feel from Buddy Black if you brought in Pat Murphy, I think.
I think he would be kind of the out-of-the-box theory. I mean, I think it's great to have some managing experience. We've seen not a lot of that in a lot of these hires, whether it's Craig Counsell or even Mike Matheny before that. They didn't have any real managerial experience. He's got it on the college, now the professional level. And he is a different guy. He's got a different attitude about things. Not everybody loves that attitude. He's not always gotten through all of his jobs, but like you said, most managers don't with whatever position it is. So he would be the very interesting candidate in the short term, but also the long term.
To me, when Milwaukee contacted, when Council became the manager in Milwaukee and the Brewers contacted the Padres about the possibility of Murphy joining Council staff, and the Padres said, well, this probably isn't a good time. That was the first indication to me that something might be up here.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And that was the
first smoke
billowing out from the
organization. You normally don't block somebody from going to the major leagues, even if he's your AAA manager. And they got Jody Davis there. So that was the first indication that I really had that something is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that. This is what AJ had to say about the next manager, at least in the interim, and what the next possible 2 days look like.
Yeah, I think as far as the interim manager, I think we're going to talk to a few internal candidates, and most likely in the next, I'd say 24 to 48 hours, we're going to have somebody for the rest of the season. It will be an interim guy, somebody to manage the club for the rest of the year and then reevaluate at the end of the season. I mean, I think there's always all different kinds of guys that bring different skill sets, to the deal. I'm not looking for has to be a young guy that's recently in the game. It seems like there's been a lot of guys off the field, recently off the field that are jumping right into manager's chair. But I don't think that guarantees success just because you look over throughout the league and some guys are having success. I don't think there's really any set way to do it. I mean, you could be a guy that's had tons of experience and kind of earned his stripes throughout the minor leagues in different roles and be a really good manager. You could be a guy that, just gained experience through playing and has that sense of feel and leadership, and can jump right onto a bench and have success. I think we're, at the right time. I think we probably, would canvas a lot of different areas to make that call. But for right now, I think we feel like we have some internal guys that are going to fit for us and try to make a call here pretty quickly and get going on the season.
Definitely going to be interesting to see what happens.
Reading
in these next
between
2 days.
The lines there, when he talked there about there are guys that jump off the field and into that position, reading between the lines, the first name that came to my mind in there was Kotze.
But that's an interim manager choice.
Right.
There's also the topic, and we're going to get to this, I'm sure, as to a permanent manager.
Right.
And I'm sure whoever gets the interim job has a chance to win that job. If the Padres play great over these last 97 games and, who knows, make a run to the playoffs, they probably have locked up a contract for the future. But if they don't, there's some candidates outside, some bigger names that I'm sure the Padres and Preller will have to start considering.
Well, I think a couple of names that immediately come up. One, if you're a general manager, you want people that you've worked with before. So it could be somebody from Texas. But I'm also thinking somebody like Ron Gardenhire or Rick Renteria, who did a very good job with the Cubs last year.
Didn't get a fair shake, right.
Did a nice job. And was very well respected, much respected by the players in that team. 2 years ago, he was the bench coach for the Padres. So that would be somebody, I mean, not that far divorced from this organization.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to talk a little later about some of the long-term candidates. The one thing that I see kind of interesting, I think one way or another, Pat Murphy is probably going to stay here.
Whether, oh, he's coming. Whether he's going to be on the staff.
Whether he's the interim manager.
It's a one-way ticket from El Paso. Right. They didn't give him the return flight.
And the good thing about this for a guy like Dave Roberts, Dave is very valuable in his role as bench coach because he does so much with the position players. He's vital in that role, so he can continue that role if this team is supposed to contend and keep doing well and still be in the mix as a managerial candidate going forward.
Well, he's no worse than the bench coach. I mean, no matter how this thing shakes out, Dave Roberts is the bench coach. Now,
right.
if Roberts becomes the manager, I would imagine Pat Murphy becomes the bench coach.
Yes, absolutely. But I guess my point is if you feel really comfortable about the job Dave Roberts is doing right now, but want to consider him as manager, you can make Pat Murphy or even Mark Kotze your interim manager and still give Dave a shot at being the long-term manager down the road.
Oh, so, yes, right.
Because you have defined roles. Like Ben said earlier, usually when this happens, the team is out of it, and you're not worried about what's going on. This team still wants to contend, and you've got to have those guys continually doing what they're doing because Pat Murphy's going to have scouting reports on major league ballplayers for the most part. Dave's been working on that day in and day out, and that's a crucial part of this team.
And that could be a knock against Mark Kotze, not personally, but while they still have Alonzo Powell as a hitting coach, if you make Kotze the interim manager, then do you make Murphy the other hitting coach if you leave Dave Roberts in his role? Or what happens to those two? It creates a little more – moving pieces within the coaching staff if you take Kotze out of the hitting coach role.
Which would lead you to believe that maybe Murphy becomes a manager.
So many possibilities.
Right.
Good to know that AJ's going to talk to these guys and figure out what's going to be best for this team. So much more to talk about when we come back for our next break. But first, get $1 tacos and watch the Padres take on the Oakland A's tomorrow. It's Taco Tuesday presented by Cholula Hot Sauce. Buy your tickets today at Padres.com. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. A very, very interesting day here at Petco Park indeed. Bud Black out as manager of the San Diego Padres. A new manager to be here in the interim very shortly. Getting to some of your Twitter questions. Anthony on Twitter says, could it be Trevor Hoffman or Loretta from the front office? What about Glenn Hoffman? Glenn's actually been an interim manager before.
Right.
A couple names we didn't talk about. Anything sound interesting there?
Glenn can do – I'm not quite sure if Glenn wants to manage again.
He had his fill of interim managing
in
L.A.
I mean, there's a lot of good coaches on the staff. Darren Balsley has never really shown an interest in
Balls
being a manager.
Does not want to manage.
I don't think Mark Loretta or Trevor Hoffman see that as their – career future path. They've kind of chosen the front office development side of the business right now, and that doesn't really translate. Not that they couldn't do it. I'm sure that they could step in if they needed them, but it doesn't seem to me like that's where they want to head. So, the crazier things have happened, but I'm not – those aren't the guys that I'm keeping my eye on, at least.
No, definitely definitely the case, I think. I think, one, we can be grateful that AJ didn't name himself as interim manager, much like the Marlins did, so that's great. Two – if it were me, I think I might just go to the Mesa and hire the greatest interim coach in the history of sports, which is Steve Fisher, who won a national championship as an interim coach. I mean, just take a shot, right?
I like how I actually had that thought. I didn't tweet it out. I almost did earlier today. How about Steve Fisher for coach of the Padres? He seems to win plenty of games every season.
So let's get to it. Junior on Twitter, he asked, so who's a good candidate to replace Bud Black? Now, we've heard – as so often in the internet era, you're going to hear names. I mean, I've obviously heard Pat Murphy as a long-term solution. Obviously, this club thinks highly of him. You've heard Ron Washington, who has some history with AJ in Texas. You've got Rick Renteria, like you mentioned. Phil Nevin, a former Padre who's highly regarded in some circles. Ron Gardenhire, like you said. So there's going to be a lot of names out there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with an interim manager who, if things go well, especially if you won a World Series, gets a leg up.
Ron Washington has those Texas ties with AJ Preller. And took his teams to a couple of World Series, but also had some off-field issues that he's still sorting through. I don't know if he's ready to come back into a dugout or if the Padres would want to go that direction. I had a couple of people tweet me today, and this is not going to happen. As much as it would make me smile, he's not coming back to baseball. Tim Flannery.
Padres manager. Seems very happy.
Yeah, I think he'll be very content playing his music and polishing the World Series rings he won up in San Francisco.
And there's another guy who I don't think ever wanted to be a manager.
Right.
And it's funny because Ron Washington is actually in uniform in the other dugout right now for the Oakland A's as a coach. So
right.
It's just funny how all these things work out together. But I don't know, Bill, I mean, you talk about, do you go after a guy, you know, I don't know, Jim Leland is – probably a little too old, but somebody like that with just some real proven success, and maybe that is a Ron Gardenhire type, or are you looking for the next young mind, the guy that's not a traditional baseball guy, the guy that doesn't want to bunt, the guy that's going to look at a lot more statistical analysis? I mean, AJ seems to be a pretty good mix of a scouting slash analysis guy. It'll be really interesting to see which direction they go.
He did mention today that he wants the long-term guy, the future manager. This will not be his first manager. He sort of mentioned that today, that this probably won't be his first managing job. So, of course, anybody who's interned, that means by the end of the season, that's not their first managing job either. But it interests me that I think he wants to bring somebody in here with some experience to be the long-term manager.
And don't forget, we're sitting here in June,
right,
when this ultimate hire is not going to probably be made until November.
We were
in the World Series.
Right.
Yeah, there could be some new candidates that come out on the market. No one had any idea that Joe Maddon was going to all of a sudden be available this last offseason when the Cubs ended up stealing him away when he got out of his contract in Tampa Bay. Now, it's not going to happen again with Joe Maddon, but there could be some surprise candidates out there on the market.
Somebody mentioned to me, "Oh, what about Dusty Baker?" I mean, but there's
I'll pass.
I don't think he would have taken James Shields out yesterday.
No,
he had another 70-80 pitches in with Dusty Baker as manager.
I think Andrew Cashner and Tyson Ross might get a little scared if Dusty Baker came into that clubhouse.
Right.
This is what AJ actually had to say on the qualities he is looking for in his next manager.
I think it's everyone's different. I mean, there's good managers that have all different qualities. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think Buddy possesses a lot of the qualities you'd want to see in a good manager. But I mean, everyone has a different style. You know, you see guys that are real fiery that have success. You see guys that are real quiet and, you know, and have a quiet confidence that have success. I mean, ultimately, you want somebody that's baseball knowledgeable, somebody that's an organization guy that believes in the people in the organization, and somebody that can lead players and get guys to be their best selves. You know, and get guys to really achieve or maybe even overachieve. I mean, that's what we'd ultimately be looking for in a manager.
So here's the question I want to pose to both of you guys, and I asked Kurt Bavakwa this. What is the most important thing a major league manager does? What's the most important thing he means to a team?
Well, to me, Bill, and this is actually would have been a reason to keep Buddy, I think the most important thing the manager does is set the tone and get some consistency over a 162-game season.
Right.
Communication with the players, not getting too emotional, highs and lows, keeping an even keel over the long haul and creating that emotional stability in the clubhouse that allows the players then to go out and perform, hopefully, to the best of their abilities. But I would say that was something that Buddy excelled at, and it didn't translate into enough victories here with the Padres.
What's the guy who I think is the perfect, I always thought was a great major league manager. Interesting, because he was such a dark horse when he first got his managerial job, was Sparky Anderson for exactly that reason. He just knew how to keep everybody focused on the game. He took care of all the sidelight. Got his first job when he was the third base coach of the San Diego Padres, last place team. Somebody saw in him the ability to be a great manager.
But others will say it's a managing an entire pitching staff and a bullpen.
And that's what Kurt says.
Over the course of a long season,
right,
making those right moves, keeping arms fresh, but not so fresh that you don't have them available when you need to win games.
Right. Now there's remember Casey Stengel's rule of being a good manager?
Let's see. It's keep the guys who hate you away from the guys who haven't decided yet.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's definitely got
you know,
to be the case.
And as for Bud Black, to me, I would say that the biggest thing, one thing that may have cost him his job, and it wasn't something that A.J. Preller mentioned because it's normally something we value in a manager, in an employee, in a boss, in anything, is his loyalty to his players.
Right.
And he remained loyal. I mean, Matt Kemp was there every single day in the lineup. A lot of managers would have pulled Matt Kemp from the lineup weeks ago with how he's been struggling at the plate. But Buddy continued to have faith in Matt Kemp, knowing his track record, knowing what kind of guy he is, how badly he wants to win. I am going to keep putting that guy in the lineup every single day in that spot. And ultimately, it was to his detriment. Kemp has not been producing. It's been hurting the Padres in the middle of the order and probably cost him a win or two that may have kept Buddy Black in a job at some point.
But I understand the reasoning. I mean, Kemp has never not gotten hot. You got to keep playing, waiting for him to get hot. Who else would you have put in the outfield?
Well, I'm not saying you necessarily take him out of the lineup. Maybe you drop him to sixth in the lineup at some point, but he's been third or fourth the entire season, even through this last month plus when he struggled. Yesterday, Joaquin Benoit was in the game in the eighth inning, and he has been a solid eighth inning guy for Bud Black since he came to the San Diego Padres when he hasn't been closing. I did not like the matchup of Benoit against Adrian Gonzalez, though, and I thought, is there a chance he could go to Garces, go to a lefty at some point, even though Gonzalez does hit lefties well, and change this matchup a little bit? But Buddy has loyalty in his guys, in their roles. He doesn't change it, and yesterday I thought it might have hurt him a little bit again. And it's an admirable quality, to be sure. But sometimes I thought it came back to bite him a little bit.
It did bite him yesterday.
It's kind of that double-edged sword. Yeah. You get the players to play hard for you by managing that way.
Yeah.
But perhaps it did. And that was an interesting one because it's hard to separate if you follow the game on Twitter while you watch and see people react. I'm with you. Benoit has been very good.
He's
given up three earned runs in the last month and a half. I don't have any expectation that he can't get Adrian out. Now, do you go lefty on lefty there? Maybe you do. I think is obviously the biggest thing is you can't walk Puig there. You don't put the guy on base. But, it's just such a tough thing to manage. And same thing with Shields. Shields didn't want to come out of the game. He said he could throw 160 pitches. Maybe he is looking forward to Dusty Baker. But he was kind of burned. And, Bill, you were talking earlier about Buddy's philosophy on relief pitchers and how they succeed the best.
Right. Buddy likes, and it's different than James Shields has ever worked with. James Shields has always worked in a situation where he would go as long as he could. And if he was in the eighth or ninth and he gave up a hit, then he would come out. Buddy has always been of the mind that he likes to have his late inning, his relievers, work a full inning, 7, 8, 9, and not bring him in the middle of an inning to face a batter with a guy on with somebody else's runner on base. Shields is used to going until he gets somebody on base and then coming out.
Baseball, though, truly, as they say, the game of inches. We just saw Adrian Gonzalez's double
right.
That went just out of the reach of Corey
so
Spangenberg.
Right.
I know Blooper's got the Jock Peterson catch somewhere in his archive of video. I mean, if that catch doesn't get made, the Padres win the game. They've taken 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. They're 13-8 in their last 21. They're 4 games out of first place. I know A.J. Preller said that this isn't a one-game decision, and he's not just putting it on yesterday, but I'm pretty sure Bud Black still has a job today
but
if the Padres
did,
won that
he
game.
He also did say that he made the final decision was made last night.
Right? It was.
Right.
It was. And if Peterson doesn't make a heck of a catch right there, we're not probably sitting here having this discussion today. But that is baseball. That is how it works on a day-to-day basis, whether it's fair or not. That's just the way it is.
As Buddy Black would say, that's baseball. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Going to take a break when we come back. Probably get into last night's game a little bit. A really exciting game that we've kind of had to gloss over a little bit in all this manager talk. So we'll talk a little bit about that and so much more when we come back right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studios here at Petco Park. You can still come out, enjoy a game, no matter what's going on here. Always baseball here in San Diego when the Padres are in town. A really exciting game last night and a really exciting series in general. Now, the outcome, definitely not what the Padres wanted, definitely not what Buddy Black was hoping for. And like you said, so much hinges on one play. And, man, that Peterson catch last night, that was unreal. And he had played such an amazing center field all night. You really saw the jumps that he got. Some of the balls in the gaps that really could have gone for extra bases, he ran those down. And he was quite the difference maker in the field last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable catch. It did decide the game, but it wasn't the only part of the game that decided the game as well. The Padres had opportunities to add on that they didn't take advantage of.
They had a 2-1 lead.
They had the lead that they couldn't hold on to.
With a very hot James Shields still going.
And they took him out.
86 pitches.
They took him out. And who knows if the what happened to Shields' his last start was still playing on the mind of Buddy Black when he decided to go to his bullpen after just 86 pitches yesterday.
It's funny, the chicken and egg situation of this. So Brandon Maurer not available last night, who's been essentially your best reliever out of anybody.
By the way, we broke that yesterday on Padre Social Hour.
Right. I saw that you let him know he wasn't pitching and he didn't know yet. Way to go, Bill. But you take James Shields out, bring Benoit in. It's like, okay, you're not letting your starter go a little further than he could have, and it's shortening your bullpen, and then a guy like Maurer was not available last night. Now, he's probably going to use Benoit regardless because Buddy was very strict about his guys have roles. At some point, Maurer will get so good that he has to jump him.
Right.
But
Benoit's
things like that matter
guy.
Down the road.
Right.
And I think the game against Kershaw, that's where you really saw it when Maurer and Benoit were not available, and you had to bring in Dale Thayer in the eighth, and he was unable to hold the lead.
But as you said, everything was going fine with Benoit. Had he just not walked Yasiel Puig, perhaps the game would have had a different outcome. So many things.
A couple close pitches on that one, too.
Well, the strike zone yesterday was unbelievable. That was one of
the.
And honestly, I think it
was. Careful, you don't want to get fined.
They can't fine me for that. No, I honestly think it was probably a little worse for the Dodgers. I mean, Padres strike zone on Twitter was incredibly active yesterday. And that's just got to be tough. I mean, just for the batters, for the pitchers, just never know where that consistency is going to come from. It's unbelievable.
Which, by the way, Bud yesterday was talking about, he thinks that the day is coming sooner than later that we have a computerized strike calls.
I will not be sad when that
day
comes.
No, I think it has
really
to happen.
We discussed this on the radio pregame show yesterday as well based on Buddy's comments and probably a discussion for a different day, but I suggested almost like the tennis method. They've implemented it very well in tennis where they can review a line call in about 2 seconds, and they still have humans calling it. But if there's one that looks like it's bad, hit a button, check it, and you find out, you're right, it was a strike or it was a ball.
Yeah, well, it's that easy.
The umpire could be back there, and the pitch is so quick that he could just get a little signal saying strike.
Yeah, no,
that's true too.
He could still go through his emotions.
Don't take away the dramatics.
Right.
Of
Leslie Nielsen, naked
he could
gun
run
routine.
Up,
yeah,
jump around.
Let's talk a little bit about the positivity of last night and Justin Upton. The Padres have been missing a Justin Upton over the years. He comes up in a crucial situation. He came through with the bases loaded, gets 2 runs. You thought he was going to do it at the end of the game. He hits the ball hard against 28 other teams, that's probably a game-winning hit.
Love that he had the green light on 3-0. I was sitting there hoping.
That's the guy you
give him the green light. I want to see him swinging if this is a good pitch.
But how nice is it to have that guy in the lineup to just, as a fan, just feel like that's the guy I want, and I feel like he's going to do it. I just have confidence that guy's going to get the job done when he has to.
When was the last time you had a 3-4 hitter in a Padre lineup? Well, probably not since Adrian. That when he went up there with runners on base that you thought he's going to get the job done rather than hoping he could get the job done.
Even more so than the night before, knowing that in a tie game facing a tough pitcher, you're just that one swing away, that he can do it at any time, and almost you're expecting it. That's a lot of fun.
One of the great
like
matchups, of the season.
Granky
versus
Upton. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. We're going to take a break when we come back. Going to get some injury news. In all this was lost another piece of bad news for the Padres involving Will Myers, so we'll talk about that when we come back. Do you know an All-Star Mom, Arm & Hammer, and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one All-Star Mom and send her and her family to the 2015 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati? Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. When we come back, we'll get to the AMR injury report here at the AMR Studios.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Hey, we're back. Ben Higgins, Bill Center, I'm Mike Grace. Going to get to the AMR injury report. And you want to talk about a situation where Bud Black might still have a job if he'd had a healthy Will Myers through this entire season. And bad news today, Will Myers going back on the 15-day disabled list with the wrist tendonitis. He came on deck last night. It sounds like he wasn't even really going to be able to hit. He was going to go up and bunt, so he was not truly available. We were all wondering. There were many pinch-hitting situations where you'd want a guy like Will Myers out there, and he wasn't available. The move today, he goes on the disabled list. They bring up a pitcher with the shortened bullpen. Corey Mazzoni is back, and got to find a way to get this guy healthy.
You got to wonder, Bill, if he's going to be available regularly the rest of the year or at all the rest of the year, because I know he's going to need surgery
right
after the year.
He's
but
got that bone chip that's in there, and you can see it. I mean, it's almost visible that the bone chip. I'm sort of surprised he had the surgery on his right wrist last winter. I'm sort of surprised they just didn't remove the bone chip there. It's been there for an awful long time in his left wrist, and it bothered him last year. I was sort of stunned when I heard that they hadn't taken it out, and I'm almost of the mind that if it's going to be off and on like this every 3 or 4 weeks, that you take it out now, and hopefully he'll be ready in a month or two.
Almost feels like a football injury,
right,
where you see a guy who gets hurt, tries to come back
right
for a week, doesn't really work, he's out a couple of weeks, and invariably those guys end up going on injured reserve,
right,
and they get the problem fixed, and they're back healthy the next season. It would hurt to lose Will Myers for the rest of the year, but it would hurt even more if he's got a career chronic wrist injury,
right,
yeah,
that he never gets over.
You
Although,
do not want him in the same situation
right
that Yonder has been in the last
right
couple of years.
And almost like if you think that this is something that, you know, if you take it out right now and you'll be ready in 2 months, you might be better off taking it out now.
That's true. I mean, 60-day disabled list, he could still get back for
right
September at the end of the season.
And if you're in the hunt. But I don't want to see it where he plays a week and then he's out for two or a month and then plays a week. If he can have it out and we know it's going to be a month or two, do it.
Got to do it. Got to get it done. All right, we're going to take a break. One more segment after that. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. Learn more about AMR at visitamrsandiego.com. One more segment of the show coming up right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Last segment of the show from the AMR studio is going to put Bill and Ben on the Cholula hot seat and see how prophetic they can be. We'll replay this in several months when we find out who the manager is. The Cholula hot seat question, one name. Who is going to be the Padres' long-term manager, not interim, long-term manager? Bill Center.
Rick Renneria.
Ben Higgins.
I'm going to go with the answer that is the best answer, and that's Dave Roberts. Because if he is interim manager and does well and takes the Padres to the playoffs where we all want them to be, they'll have no choice but
right
to give him a long-term
right
contract.
If he does that, yes.
But if he doesn't, then I'm going to go with Ron Gardenhire.
All right.
So you want to name like 15 more while you're out there?
You handled yourself very well on the Cholula hot seat.
Rick Renneria is the perfect manager for Southern California at this time. Great background. I mean, Southern
bilingual
California raised. Been with the Padres before.
Makes a lot of sense, Ben.
All right. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres.
What?
No, I was just saying, tell us about Rick Renteria.
No, I
sell
just
your
think,
case.
I think he's the perfect.
You've made a good case.
Really, no, I think he is the one. With the Cubs last year, he proved he could manage, and he was very popular, and he got that team to overachieve. And
I like a Spanish-speaking manager.
Right, Spanish-speaking
I do like
manager,
that.
And he has – I mean, I think he'd be the perfect pick. Southern California, the type of community
give him credit as well. He could have put up a fight and a fuss when he
absolutely
left. The Cubs did not treat him well,
right,
kicking him out after 1 year to get Joe Maddon. Not that that was a bad decision. Joe
right
Maddon's a great manager.
And they said at the time, we love the job that Rick did, however, comma. And I think he got messed over, and he really handled it well. I think Rick would be a really good manager.
Didn't burn any bridges. I think that impressed a lot of GMs around the league.
Sure, absolutely.
The way Rick Renteria handled that last
and he's
year.
Really, he's really a smart guy.
But I got to tell you, I really hope you're right.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts. That's
in the scenario right. you laid out.
That
would
be
ideal.
The scenario
that
he laid out. Ben's scenario is perfect.
All right. Thank you, Ben Higgins. Thank you, Bill Center. That was a really, really fun discussion about everything going on here. Ben is back tomorrow early with Randy Jones, 11 a.m., so tune in for that. Jesse Hahn, didn't even get to talk about that today, taking the mound against Tyson Ross tonight. Enjoy the game, everybody.